Desire interest in your prayers this morning as we consider some of the Word of God. I find it to be valuable and very important. I thinking about something this morning that we're all familiar with as far as the term is concerned. As I've been meditating and considering the burden the Lord has given us, it kind of came to me that people are starving today. You ever been on a starvation diet? I never really went on a starvation diet. That doesn't sound like too much fun. But there's people that have, people that have died that way too. Well, our country, our people today is on a starvation diet. They don't have any love. I want us to consider the term or the word love today. Love, there's the word love and there's the word like. I used to say, most people that know me know that I really like ice cream. And I used to say, I sure do love ice cream. Well, I don't love ice cream, but I like it a lot. There's a difference between love and like. And I'm looking on our society today and our people, our families, our homes, and our nation. People like a lot of things. And some people say they love one another. But love has a deeper meaning for me. When someone tells me that they love me, whether it be family or whoever, I expect them to act like it. I expect them to have my feelings. I expect them to consider my feelings. To consider my wants, my desires. To consider how I focus and how I see life. Love. The word love has been cheapened immensely today. I've had people say they love me and you know, I just cringe. When I see how they're living their life and see what they're involved with, to see the values that they have taken on, the way that they are dealing with circumstances, and then they turn around and they tell me, I love you. Sometimes we get the idea that because you're my parent, you're my daddy, you're my mommy, that I gotta love you. So I love you. Love's a lot deeper than that, you know it? Do you know you can love someone without liking them? Oh yes, you can. You can love someone because your emotions run deeply that way, but you don't really like the way they're living. You don't really like their attitudes. You don't really like a lot of their behavior. You can like somebody and not love them. So I want to differentiate with the Word of God this morning. There's a difference between love and like. There's also a difference between just throwing the word love around Just saying that you love someone, there's got to be some meaning to it. And as I said earlier, it's really been cheapened a lot today. I know people that have told me they love me, and I question that in my own mind. Do you really? Do you really? The Bible says God is love, doesn't it? God is love. Do you know there's no way that you and I can properly love someone until we get His love in our hearts? It takes God. God created us from the beginning. And He put in us, gave us the breath of life, gave us a part of Him. Folks, that part of Him is love. And you and I've got to have Him in our hearts to know how to love, to know what it means, to really experience the depths of love. Well, what does love do? After the flood, the Lord came along and told Noah, "Son, we'll make promise to mankind. I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky, and I'll never destroy the earth again by water." Didn't He? And we still see that rainbow today. It's a promise, isn't it? That God made. Love is really a promise. It's really a promise. And it really denotes action in the individual that says they love us. We have a very familiar scripture. For God so loved the world. Didn't stop there, did it? His love was so great that He gave something. He gave His only begotten Son. He gave something for you and I. He so loved us. He so loved us in His wisdom and in His understanding that when He created us from the very beginning, He made us twofold creatures that when man fell and disobeyed and sin came into the world and punishment came because of sin, God still loved us and He gave something for us to give us hope. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us so much that He would give us eternal life. Eternal life. Let's, you and I, be very careful how we throw that word around. If you love someone, your heart goes out to them, you want to do something for them. You want to be a help to them. You want to be a blessing to them some way, somehow. I want to talk about, by the help of the Lord this morning, a covenant relationship. And it has a twofold meaning here this morning. We have a covenant relationship here on earth with one another. And we also have a covenant relationship with God. If you're saved today, you promised God something. You did. You promised Him something. Lord, if You'll forgive me, I'll live for You the rest of my life. Lord, if You'll have mercy on me, Lord, I'll live for You. I'll do what You would have me to do. I'll do what Your Word teaches me to do. If You'll just help me in my hour of need. And oh, we get so helpless sometimes. And we cry out to God and say, God, if You'll help me, I'll live for You. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll be what You want me to be. We have the consecration song. I'll go where You want me to go. If You'll just help me. If You'll just help me. We're always the ones in need of help, aren't we? But I want us to understand something about God and His covenant with man. He made a covenant with us. He made a covenant with Abraham. He told him, he said, he was a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. And he told him, he said, through your seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And he made a covenant with him that your seed, it would go down, and I'm going to do some paraphrasing here to move along. He'll go down into Egypt. You'll be in bondage. They'll be in bondage for 400 years, but I'll bring them out of bondage and I'll give them a land, a promised land. I'll give it to them. Do you know God covenanted that with Abraham? But boy, I tell you, it sure wasn't an easy thing to accomplish. In dealing with people, in dealing with the fallacy of the human mind, the human understanding, in dealing with the depravity of man, God really, if I can say it this way, He really had to be long-suffering to keep His covenant with Abraham. He had to be long-suffering in order to be faithful to the covenant that but He made a covenant. A covenant is a vow. The Bible tells us it's better not to make a vow if you're not going to keep it. Don't make it. But you and I here this morning that love the Lord and has promised that we would live for Him, we've made a vow. So we're duty bound, you and I, to keep that vow to God. Lord, help us here this morning. I want to read a scripture in 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, 11:1. He said, I'm jealous. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He said, I have espoused you to one husband. You and I here this morning are the bride of Christ. We're God's people. Jesus Christ is the groom. He's the bridegroom, isn't he? And Paul said, I've espoused you to one husband. Just one. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. By the vows that you and I have made, we have been espoused to one husband. But he says, I fear. This is a fear that of mine also. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. I'll remind us here this morning, the devil is still very subtle. He still works behind the scenes. And as long as you have breath in your body, it doesn't matter how many years I've been saved. It doesn't matter if I'm a preacher, a teacher, a song leader, or who I am. As long as you got breath in your body, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to remind you, the devil, through his subtlety, is after your soul. And he'll do anything he can to get it. Now, I heard the brother pray in his prayer this morning. Faith worketh by love. Is it any wonder that our world today doesn't have any faith? Is it any wonder that people can't trust God? Is it any wonder that people can't even see God? I think I mentioned here Wednesday night, I am amazed at the people that don't have a clue or understanding of what the Bible really teaches. They don't know the terms righteousness, godliness, holiness. We don't hear that anymore. That's not part of people's makeup. That's not what they dwell on in their minds. Because the love has been lost. They don't have that love.
They don't have a love for the truth. They don't have a love for God. They don't have the desire heavenward because they don't have the love of God in their hearts. See how all that works? We say, why do things happen like what happened last Sunday night out in Los Angeles? Why do these things happen? Our world is starving, folks. This nation is starving. Though they know the word love, but they really don't have the understanding of what love is. They don't know the God that gives love, do they? Remember Job when he went through all the things that he went through and he came to the end of it, all of his sufferings, and the Lord blessed him doubly. And he said, I once heard of him by the hearing of the ear. People hear of God today. They've heard the world, our church world out there, the religious people out there, they hear once in a while about God. They hear about Jesus. They know very little of his sacrifice. They know very little of his suffering. They have very little understanding of the cross that he went through for you and I. It's amazing. It's amazing to me how little knowledge people have of God's word. Oh, they've heard of it. Job said, I heard of him by the hearing of the ear. But it's because of what he suffered. It's because of his loss. It's because of his meditation and drawing his heart close to God. He said, now I see him. People don't see God today. And thereby they don't love God. Oh, but I love the Lord, Brother Larry. Do you? Do you have the love of God in your heart? If you don't, you can't love the way God loves. Because God love says, I give my only begotten Son. So his love is a covenant love. And a covenant love, when I enter into a covenant, when God entered into a covenant, it was for the benefit of someone else. If I love you, it'll be for your benefit. It won't be for my selfishness. It won't be in order to promote me or lift me up. But if I love you, it'll be for your benefit. It'll be to promote your needs, to supply your needs. If I truly love you. We've been espoused to one husband as the church of God, as God's bride, as his people. Folks, there's all kinds of idols out there, and Baal is the prominent idol out there today. There's all kinds of things that the people are worshiping today. We have come to the point, now you may not agree with me, that's fine. But we have come to the point of time when people have a hard time going to church one hour a week, and we have 168 hours in a week. There's 168 of them. And folks, let us be careful as the saints of God that we get a little weary when we come to service and a preacher preaches over an hour. You got 168 hours a week and you grow weary hearing the Word of God for an hour? Evidently, there's a lack there. There's a lack of something there. If you grow weary hearing the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about someone just talking. I'm talking about as long as the Lord is anointing and blessing the Word. You and I ought to be right in there to gather in everything that God has for us. We ought to be right there. We ought to be praying for him who or her, whoever it is, and we ought to support them, and we ought to keep talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want my portion. I want what you have for me out of this. 168 hours a week. But I'll tell you what we can do. Not us, but the world. They can go to a football game and spend all day. They can sit there for 3 hours and watch the game, and they can have tailgate parties. They can do all that crazy stuff that they do out there. They can spend all day because that's their God that they're bound down to. Lord, help us. How's your love today? How's your love? Do you really love the Lord? Jesus said, love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. I think it would be good for me and you and all of us to have a daily check. Lord, how's my love? Do I really love to go to prayer? Do I really love to serve you? Do I really love to read your word? Am I getting benefit from what I'm reading and what I'm hearing? Am I benefiting from it? Love. Well, of course, this same relationship goes into our earthly existence here. And that is in our homes. In our marriages. Husbands and wives make a vow to one another, don't they? We make a vow. Say, oh, I love you. Love is not some euphoric feeling that just makes you feel good and your emotions just rise. That's not love, folks. Love is in the will. Love is that you will. When your heart goes out to love someone, God's love was in His will. He willed that His Son would come, that you and I could have eternal life. Our love is in the will. It's not in the circumstances. It's not the first time something comes along and I want to just throw up my hands and quit. Didn't anyone have us in here today? That haven't had experiences or times in our lives where we weren't very lovable. Every one of us, husbands and wives, we've had time when we weren't very lovable. And when that time comes, folks, it can't be some great feeling. It's got to be in the will that I truly love it. I made a commitment here. This commitment is permanent. It's everlasting. God created this. And He gave it to you and I that we love one another. Even when we're not very lovable. Even when we don't feel like it. Do you know, sometimes I see things and hear things that makes me wonder, but I still believe that's possible in today's world. I still believe it's possible in today's world to have a lifelong loving marriage, even though I see so many falling apart. Only if we understand and follow the Bible concepts of marriage. Paul said, I've espoused you to one husband. You know, sometimes people get the idea, and I've heard this, I'm faithful most of the time. Wives, how would you like to have had a husband that was faithful most of the time? How do you think God feels about you and I in our walk with Him if we're faithful most of the time? That's not covenant relationship. Being faithful all the time in whatever it takes, seeking the Lord for the grace and the help that you need to be faithful all the time. You know, I tell this little story. Brother Sire McElhaney down in South Carolina. Loved him. He's gone to his reward. I believe he made it. Wife and I had been down there several times, went in their house one time after we got there, and we're standing in the living room, hadn't even sat down yet. He gets up and walks over and he looks at my wife, doesn't say a word, just looks at her. And he comes over and stands in front of me and says, that's not the same woman you brought down here with you the last time. And my mouth dropped open. I thought, Lord, what is he doing to me? Because I go down there sometimes without her. And my wife just looked at him. I looked at her, and I didn't know what she was going to say. And she looked at me, and then she looked at Brother Sire. And she said, no. She said, I know better than that, brother. She said, I know my husband better than that. He wouldn't do that. And he come back over to me, and he said, well, I tried to get you in the doghouse. I said, you can call it a doghouse if you want to. I said, that thing's dangerous, what you just did. You do that with the wrong person, and you're going to cause more trouble than a doghouse. Folks, faithfulness is of utmost necessity to you and I. In our marriages, in our family, in our relationship, with our husband, with our wife, with our children, and with God. In our walk with the Lord, faithfulness is of the utmost. It's absolutely necessary that you and I be faithful at all times. I want to say a little more about this covenant. There's covenants that were made in the Bible. There was a covenant between Jonathan and David. You all know the story of Jonathan and David. Jonathan was King Saul's son. David was the heir apparent to sit on the throne. And those two became very close. And they bonded. And they loved each other. One place it says, and their hearts were knit together, and he loved him as his own soul. And they made a covenant with one another. How was that covenant made? The covenants back in those days was made by cutting the wrist and mingling the two together, the blood together. Folks, how did God make a covenant with you and I? He sent his son to hang on a cross for that blood, that life-giving blood to flow out of his body for you and I. He made a covenant. How important, how precious is this to us? That we're determined by the grace of God that we're not going to do anything. We're not going to do anything to grieve God. We're not going to do anything to change the direction that we're going in living for the Lord. God's relationship with man is a permanent relationship. He made a permanent relationship with us when he sent his son, and his son gave his life for you and I. And that covenant is made for our benefit. Remember Naomi? Naomi and Ruth? Was it? My mind's not working right. Naomi was following Ruth, right? Ruth was the mother? I got it backwards?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't mind helping me. I don't mind taking the help. Ruth was following Naomi, is that right?
Yes.
And she made a covenant with Naomi, didn't she? And she said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Wherever you go, I will go with you. And your people will be mine. The other daughter-in-law, when Naomi pressed upon her to stay behind, she stayed behind, but not Ruth. She went right there with her. She kept her promise. She kept her covenant that she had made. I want to drive that point home here this morning, folks. Our world is starving because they don't understand love. They're not experiencing the true love of God in their hearts. They are not experiencing it in their lives. Life in this world today doesn't seem to mean all that much to our people when we can walk up to someone and take their lives just because we're angry about something. or because they're in our way, or because they didn't drive the way that we wanted them to drive. Life has very little meaning today, but that's not so with God, folks. He loves us. You and I have been given to Him as His bride. Let us be faithful. We will be held responsible, won't we? We will be held responsible for how we have lived this life before the Lord. You see what happens in a marriage. I was young once. Got married 48 years ago. Some of us here might still be able to remember that. And when I got married, you know whose happiness was really important to me? Well, I can say, well, I wanted to make her happy. But I was concerned about being happy too. I wanted to be happy. We got to be... The selfishness, there's such a fine line between selfishness and doing things for others. There's a fine line there. And you and I need to have a mindset that we want to do things for others. That's what love is. Doing things for others. I've seen marriages. I've seen people that have dealt with their companions. If the companion doesn't do what they want them to do, they will force them or try to force them in submission. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. Folks, when did Christ ever force you and I into submission? If we don't love Him, we have a choice. We can go our own way, can't we? We can go our own way. When you force someone to submission, it causes resentments. We got enough of those in our world today. It causes resentments. They may do it, but they won't be doing it for the right reason. They'll be doing it maybe to try to keep peace or whatever. That's not a covenant attitude. To try to manipulate someone. Oh, I've seen enough of this that I don't want to see anymore, but I probably will. People trying to manipulate someone else to get what they want, to accomplish what they desire. Lord, help us. You know, we do have a couple of younger couples in our congregation here this morning. Marriage is kind of tough. Marriage can become difficult because sometimes you just don't see eye to eye. One sees one thing another way, one sees one thing another. How does that work in your relationship with Christ? Do we want to see it the way Christ sees it? So what do we need to do? We need to read His Word, don't we? Paul said to study, to show thyself approved. We made some promises. And our promise is, I will love you if you love me. You ever heard that one? I'll love you if you'll love me. I'll love you. You want that reciprocating love. So does Christ. His love is unconditional. While we were sinners, He died for us. He gave His life for us while we were sinners. His love is an amazing love. It is unconditional. Committed, folks. You and I need a covenant relationship with one another and with God where we are committed to that regardless. Regardless. I like to tell about Elizabeth Elliot too. Her and her husband were missionaries over in a land full of heathens. As a matter of fact, her husband was killed by one of the tribesmen. But she told the story one time of her and her husband had a good relationship. They loved one another. And she said one day he said something to her that she could not believe that came out of her husband's mouth. And it hurt her very deeply. You ever been hurt? Just hang on, you will be. Life's full of those things, folks. And here's how you deal with it. She said, I was hurt so deeply. I waited all day for him to come and tell me he was sorry. He didn't come. We went to bed that night, she said, and I got on my side of the bed and I got just as close to the edge as I could without falling out of bed. Married people, they understand what she's saying. See, not always likable. Don't always want to feel close. I was giving marriage counsel to a couple that I was that had asked me to marry him, and I looked at him and I said, "Do you love her?" "Yeah, I love her." I said, "You won't always feel that way." He brow furrowed up. He looked over at my wife, and she says, "He's telling you the truth. You won't always feel that way." Folks, sometimes, and I want to point this out to us, remind us, our life for the Lord is not a life of feelings. When the hurts come and the difficulties come and the trials come and the tests come and people disappoint you and people let you down and the world is spinning all around you, folks, it's not built on feelings. It's on your will to love God. You know that same individual, they've been married a few years now. I was there to visit them. They told me, he said, "You remember that day you told me that?" "Yeah." He said, "You were right." I said, "Been there, done that." Most of us have. Been there, done that. But folks, it's deeper than that, isn't it? I've espoused you to one husband. In other words, you don't have a right to go get another one. He's your husband. Christ, if someone comes, he says, and preaches another gospel or brings another spirit, don't imbibe those things, folks. We're living in the days of deception. There's a lot of deception out in the world today. Don't imbibe it. If you have something that you know is from God and He's living and dwelling in your heart, folks, guard it and hold it. Protect it. Defend it. Don't let the enemy come and steal it out of your heart. So here's Elizabeth Elliot laying as close as she can get with her back to her husband. Waiting. She said, "I'm waiting on him to tell me I'm sorry." And the next thing that she heard was snoring. She laid there and started having a pity party. And the Lord brought the scriptures to her. 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. Love is this. Love is that. Love is bearing. Love is kind. Love. She said, "I got up and I went out into the living room and I opened my Bible. And every place that it said love is, I put my name there." And she said, "By the time I finished that, I was so ashamed of myself." Hard times. Do you know what hard times are? Folks, we're facing hard times. Difficult times. Till she came to the point where she didn't really need her husband to tell her that he was sorry. She was willing to forgive and realize, "I got to rise above those things. I got to love him. It's in the will. I made a commitment to him." She had to realize that. The Lord helped her to see it. Lord, help us to see it today. I want us to consider another scripture found in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Here we are, folks.
the days of Jesus Christ. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. We got a lot of that today. A lot of people have fallen in love with themselves. It's what they want. It's what makes them feel good. That's not a covenant relationship, folks. I just want to point that out. That's not a covenant relationship when your love is all about you. When your pleasure is all about you. All about satisfying you. That's not a covenant relationship. Covetous. Coveting. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. I had to do a grandparent job yesterday. Believe me, it was a job. Wife and I went and watched our 5 or 6 year old, I guess it was, play soccer. Number one, I don't like soccer. Never did, never will. Number two, 6 year olds. Have you ever seen that? They just run around like chickens with their heads cut off. Somebody's got the ball. Here comes the pack behind them. Don't have much of a clue of what they're doing. Well, I watched. Obviously, the mother, the parent of one of them, sent her son out there on the field. They're getting ready to kick the ball, and the son just walking around, looking around. Finally, he just wanders off the field. And they kick the ball, and everybody's running. She grabs and goes over, and grabs him, and takes him out. She ended up having to hold him and stand there and hold him while the game was going on. You know what I told my wife? I said if she took care of that at home, she wouldn't have to hold him out there on the field. She'd take care of that at home. I don't put all the blame on our children, folks. I don't put all the blame on this millennium generation. Because I think we, God help us, God forgive us, many of us have let down in teaching the values and giving the instruction that we ought to have been giving to our children. Although, I have a little out here for me, for you if you want it. I see our children growing up in their adult years picking up different values, looking at life a different way. Have an older son that has said some things. I look at my wife and I said, surely he did not grow up in our home. Surely he didn't grow up in our home. But folks, when they get in their 40s and almost 50 years old, there really isn't a whole lot you can do but pray for them. And folks, why is our world starving today? How many of us have children that don't even go to church today? Don't even darken the door of any kind of a church. And yet they're complaining because their marriages are falling apart. Relationships are suffering and people are hurting and the world is in trouble. And don't even darken the door of a church building. Sunday is the same as any other day. Doesn't mean a thing to them. Of course we're starving. People don't want to hear about God. When my children have their problems and struggles, they don't want to come and talk to me because Daddy starts talking to them about God and about their relationship with God and what they need to do for their souls, and they don't want to hear it. Oh my, are we suffering? Are we hurting today? It's like that little baby. Crying and crying and crying and restless. Mommy's trying to get it to go to sleep and it don't want, it fights sleep. The very thing that it needs, it's fighting it. That's what people are doing today. The very thing they need is God. They don't experience His love. They really don't know anything about Him. We're suffering, folks. We're hurting as a society, as a people, as a nation. We're hurting.
Oh, I've heard of love. I love you. Do you really? Do you love? Tell me first, do you love God? If you don't love God, you really don't know how to love me. Because your love is a selfish love. I'll hurt you. I'll do things that I know will break your heart, but I love you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about, folks. We're living in a very, very hard society, a hard time, a hard people. Blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Families today, wow, they're hurting, they're suffering, all because we have a people that's trying to make it without God. It's not going to work. Without natural affection, incontinent, ingratitude, disobedient to parents. Folks, I know of one family in particular, and there's bunches of them out there where the children have just totally cut mom and dad completely off from the grandchildren. Just cut them completely off over some foolish little thing. Selfishness. Just selfishness. Oh, the hurts that brings. The heartaches, the sorrows that brings. This particular family has 10 children, and grandma and grandpa's not allowed to be around them. Lord have mercy. My heart grieves. I grieve today over the condition of our nation, of our people, our society. I grieve. I am very, very sad in what I see today. Traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Is it any wonder, and I gotta say it, sorry, I'm not sorry. Is it any wonder today we're suffering with homosexuality? We don't even know what some people claim to be. They got all these different labels out there now. They got all these different feelings out there now. Today, maybe I feel like I'm a man and I'm going to use the man's public restroom. Tomorrow, I may feel like a woman and I'm going to use the... Folks! How'd we get here? We cut God off, didn't we? Push God aside. I get up on Sunday morning and I'll watch my football games, or I'll go to my football game, spend a lot of money, but I won't go to church. I don't want to hear about God. We're in trouble. Our nation is in trouble today. Abortions. I'm going to put a little slant on this that I don't know if you've ever heard this or thought of it. Abortions. We say it's a shame that our Supreme Court and our government has made it lawful to have to kill babies. But who's really responsible? Whose blood are those babies? Whose hands are those babies' blood going to be on? I can tell you who it's going to be on. It's going to be on the church. Since when does government give direction for morality? Since when? Since we've allowed them to? Since we've put 12 men on the Supreme Court? Women? Ever how many there are? Supposed to be 12, I think. And let them make the decisions that it's right? Let me tell you, folks, since when did God give man a right, a preacher a right, to compromise the Word of God, to allow the Word of God to be watered down in order to get people in the church, people to come to worship, in order to get the money that they can go out and live in fancy homes, buy fancy cars, fancy clothes. Let me tell you something. God told Cain, he said, your brother's blood crieth out to me. I want to tell you folks that there's people, the souls of people today, their blood is crying out to God today. Because we've changed the landscape. Because we're sitting by and a government is doing their best to destroy us. And we're just letting it happen. All these and much more makes me to know that we are a responsible people. And when I say the blood is on the hands of the church, folks, I ain't talking just about, I'm talking about the people, the church world. People that claim to be the church. I've heard of people that have went out whenever Roe versus Wade came and they wanted to legalize abortions. People said they was out on the courthouse steps and they were crying out that it was wrong and it was wrong. Folks, those people compromised their own souls before God. There was no anointing upon them. There was no power with them. They had no authority to cry out. Because they compromised their own lives. They compromised their own relationship with God. And we're crying out because of abortions. Heard someone say this past week, those people that went out into eternity in Las Vegas, if they could talk to us today, they would say, won't you do something about all these guns? Won't you do something about all this murdering and all these things? And that same person is in agreement with abortion. What about if those little babies could talk, what would they say to us today? What would they say to this nation, folks? And I know it happens all over the world, but I'm talking about our nation, where we live. I said this one time in a Wednesday night prayer service. I'm going to say it again. You and I need to have some target prayers. Not just general overall prayers, but target prayers. We need to target some things. We need to ask God's mercy. We need to ask God's intervention. This country's going down quick. It's escalated. Sorrowful world that we live in today. It's dangerous out there for your own lives physically, but it's also dangerous for your souls. It's a perilous time. That's what Paul said. The perilous times would come. I don't know how you're praying. I don't know what you're praying for, but I want to tell you, folks, the Lord did say, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way. He said he'd hear. It's the only hope we got. It's the only hope we got, because we live in a generation of time when there's no love in our world. There's no love in our society. There's no love in our homes. Children growing up in homes don't feel love for mother and father. Mother and father don't have the time to give them. They're busy doing their own thing and just putting the children in front of a television set or sending them to the mall. Anything to get them out of their hair. That's what they're doing with the children. Lord, have mercy on us today. I want to read a scripture found in Isaiah, 3rd chapter. I don't know if you've ever considered it. Isaiah 3,
verse 10 and 11. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. It will pay you and I to live a righteous, a holy, and a godly life. It'll pay dividends, folks. But he said, woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. You know, what is going on in Washington, D.C.? The whole spectrum is the kingdom of darkness. It's the kingdom of darkness. It's the kingdom of evil. Evil people with personal desires for personal gains. You think those people there that have been there for years and years and years, they're only there for what? Are they there for your benefit or your good? No. They're there for their own. They're there for a life of ease. They're there for the money. They're there for the glory. They're there to be known. That's what they're there for. And I want to tell you something. When you come against the kingdom of darkness, the devil doesn't give up his territory real easy. He fights hard, folks. I don't know. I preached a message here a few weeks back about World War II, D-Day, and all those kind of things. Folks, we're in a real battle here. We're in a real battle. We need the Lord to teach us how to fight. Because some of us will be gone for too long. But what about our children? What about our grandchildren? If the Lord spares time and gives opportunity, who's going to teach them? Who's going to preach them the truth? Lord, help us today. Lord, help us. I want to close in saying there's a very great looseness in our society today. I know we're all aware of that. But there are and will be consequences to our actions. I think I heard this morning one of the little children saying something about we shall reap what we sow. This nation shall reap what it sows. You shall reap what you sow. I'm reaping things that I sowed when I was away from the Lord those years. I'm reaping some things. There's consequences to our actions. And what we see today is more and more divorces. More and more. No commitment. Nothing permanent today. Because people don't love the way God loves us. They don't know, they don't have the understanding, the deep meaning of what love truly is. There's more abuse. Our little children are being abused. There's more homosexuality, and it's just getting worse. There's more promiscuity. Social awkwardness. Now, you know, that's something to consider. Men and women reversing the roles today. Men staying home raising the children, and the women going out with their careers and making a living for the family. Folks, the Word of God is plain, isn't it? Never was God's plan. The problem is we're outside of God's plan. And when we're outside of His plan, we're outside of His will. We're not in the will of God. That's scary to me. It's frightening that we are not in the will of God as a people, as a nation. We're not in the will of God. It doesn't matter what the Word of God says. We're going to do it our way. That's what Frank Sinatra did. He did it his way. He sang that song, I Did It My Way. So did Elvis. They did it their way. We all know what his end was, don't we? Social awkwardness. Emotional distresses. People are dealing with it. I see young men
being stressed on the job all week long, come home on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday off, and him and his wife get into a situation where it's nothing but stress, they can't get along with one another and there's trouble. There never is a time when he can let down and relax and rest, because there's always something been bombarding his mind. Always something to deal with. That's what the world is that we live in today, folks. Because of all these things, there's suicide. Suicide's running rampant in our land today. It's running rampant. All this has come about through the loss of our God-given identity. A nation that was founded on the principles of God's Word, where is it today? You know, there was a time back in the old law, back in the Testament, when the king sat on the throne, that God sent messengers, men of God, to them as counselors, didn't he? Where's the counselors today? Who counsels our leaders? Who counsels our government? What do they have? They don't want to talk about God. They want to talk about their own wants and their own desires. Try to work it out. Trying to work it out without God, folks, that's foolishness. In my way of thinking, it's foolishness to try to correct and amend things and work it out without God, because we're out of His order. Our young people growing up in those homes where daddy's at home cooking the meals and taking care of them, mommy's out working, young people don't know what to do when they grow up. They know what they see, but they're all confused. Oh, well, maybe, you know, I'm a girl. Maybe it's my job, my duty to go out and make a living for my family if I get married. That's not what God said. It's not what God said at all. Our young people don't know what role to play in our society today because of all they're seeing and all that is happening. Lord, have mercy on us. Love. Lord, help us to understand the depths of true love. It's a covenant love. It's for the benefit of others, that others might be blessed, that others' lives may be improved, that you might be able to minister to one another. That's the kind of love Jesus had when he came here. So may the Lord help us today. I am so burdened, so concerned, so sad to see what is here, but it's here. All we can do is carry a burden and ask the Lord to have mercy and help us. Let's pray for our children. I pray much for the saints' children. May God bless us. Amen.